Corporate Wellness Awareness Week happens on the first week of July every single year in efforts of saying, hey, we want to bring attention and focus to what's happening in the corporate space and ensuring that you are whole and well even as you engage in the corporate space. And joining us this afternoon is Refilwe Tladiatsana, who is a nurse by profession specializing in occupational health and safety. She's also the director and founder of the Refi Store Primary and Occupational Health Care Services. And she's here to chat to us about how important this is and why we should be focusing on this and how can we do better from a perspective of being employees, but also if we are employers. Refilwe, thank you so much for joining us. Welcome to Drive 3 to 6.
Thank you, Kosi.
You know, Refilwe, I'm thinking about the conversation we're talking about corporate wellness and the idea of burnout. And for a lot of people, that's the last thing we think about when we join an organization. We're not thinking that this is something that we're going to have to think about because we're thinking that everything should be hunky-dory and smooth sailing. But yeah. By virtue yeah. of having Corporate Wellness Awareness Week, it's indicating that it's everything but hunky-dory and smooth sailing. Maybe let's start there. Why is it so important to set aside a whole week to speak about corporate wellness?
Okay, Kosi, this is the time where awareness is raised about the health of employees and how it affects their productivity as well as a thriving working environment. And, you know, we know that a healthy working place is required by to have, like for you to have a healthy working place, you need a healthy, productive team. So we use this week to encourage companies also to look into ways that they can boost employee morale and increase the energy levels, like the performance appraisals or the use of sports days that a lot of companies are currently using. Yeah, so basically the aim is to promote employee wellness through positive work culture. Mm. Yeah.
And I mean, we see this. There's some organizations where you see they've got the sport days, like you were rightfully saying, where there is that element of wellness. And I think it was yesterday where someone was saying, you know, wellness, corporate wellness is not a bonus. It's a necessity of building business, you know, that the yeah. better we have that in place, the business has a better chance of growing. And it's not an added extra. It should be necessity. But in spaces where this doesn't exist, I guess those employees find their way in your chair, in your office. What do you find are some of the more common things and issues and common work-related stresses that when someone sits in front of you, they often present with?
Yeah, so usually a lot of people are complaining about their jobs having like with heavy workloads and tight deadlines that causes them to feel overwhelmed. Sometimes they speak of lack of control over their work, where you don't have autonomy to decide how you can plan your day. There's somebody who's always changing your schedule. And then others are complaining of relationships with colleagues or their supervisors, maybe the supervisor not providing enough support, or where they are being bullied or harassed at work. So it's a lot of things that end up presenting as physical symptoms, Kosi, that people end up experiencing as a result of situations that they are faced with at work. Yeah. Mm. And also, hey, job insecurity is also another problem, especially these days. A lot of companies prefer to hire people on contractual basis. So a person is not sure if after this contract, will they get another job? Mm. So there's a lot of factors in the working environment that stresses a person and ends up affecting their sleep, their temper, and their association with other people. So yeah, mostly people are complaining about these things that I just highlighted.
Yeah, and I mean, this is something that I guess the family, friends, people outside of the work world or the workspace will be the first ones to experience that something is amiss here, because this person is a lot more harsher and has a shorter temperament, and they're just not as patient. But Refilwe, I think this is the part mm-hmm. where I'm then going, there's an employer who might be listening to this conversation. What are certain things that they can do other than going, okay, we're bringing in a full wellness, whatever, which I think for a lot of companies, they feel like, oh my goodness, no, we're losing focus on why we're here. Two, that requires a lot of budget. And three, it just feels like people are going to come here and want to spend more time at wellness than it is at work. What are two, three things that you would say an employer can consider from, in light of what you're highlighting, that they can start to incorporate into their business space that will help their employees? and I guess greater success of the business?
Okay. Because, you know, I've seen how sports days and wellness days play a huge role in like relieving stress of employees. So employers can actually have a scheduled program of a yearly wellness day, like more like having a wellness calendar where they know that on this and this and this day, this is what we will be doing. We'll be doing physical activities. We're going to invite people over to look into mental health of our employees if they are fine, and like have questionnaires also where the employees can actually respond on how they feel anonymously about their working environment, and looking into it with us with an eye of trying to change, not to judge or to corner the employees, but to look into it with that eye of wanting to change a working environment. Mm. And also performance appraisals, they play a very good role. Like when people know we are going to get something for working hard, they become encouraged, they feel valued, they feel appreciated, they feel accepted. And sometimes also I feel maybe the employers should just micromanaging can be very stressful, Kosi. Mm. So if you have employed somebody in a position, trust them to do the expectations, the job description. You know, you can just guide every now and then, but not micromanage, because it makes people to feel like they are losing their autonomy. They don't have a say. They're just getting by. They can't even plan ahead that, okay, this year, this time, I want to see my position, this place, like, or the department that I'm under, the department that I am heading, I would like to see this far, because there's someone who's constantly changing plans. So managers or employers could actually also allow the employees, you know, to be initiative. As long as we know that you qualify for this position, allow the person to carry out the task with confidence. You know, when a person feels that they are trusted, it also boosts morale in a way. It boosts confidence. It boosts self-esteem. They're looking forward to waking up every morning and go to the same work. Yeah. So, that's just a few of the things that can be done by the employers.
Yeah, and I think it's so important that we highlight this as well, because sometimes even employers are just like, I'm not always so aware of what are the things that would work, and micromanagement might be the last resort in efforts of saying, I'm just trying to get productivity going. And I'm so glad that you highlighted on those things. But Refilo, before we wrap up our time, right, there's someone who might be saying, I know I'm getting to that time of the year where burnout starts knocking on the door. And I know for a lot of people already by now, mid-year is just like, oh man, on the back of, especially if you're in the financial sector where you're on the back of year end and you're just feeling like, man, this has been a really tough season. And I just feel like, let's wrap up 2025. What are some of those things that could be early signs that indicate that someone might be heading toward burnout, that they might be able to then go, okay, then I maybe need to see a nurse like Refilwe in efforts of being able to find a pressure alleviation, or even maybe speak to my line manager. What are those early signs?
Oh, okay. Yeah, before I say the early sign, I just want to highlight that, you know, burnout does not happen overnight. It's something that occurs as a result of chronic unmanaged stress. So a lot of people don't realize that they are going through it until it's really, really bad. So now I'm just going to mention a few. Number one, a person starts to disconnect from the people around them. They used to be this bubbly person. You know, you used to go all out. You used to enjoy being in the company of your loved ones, your friends. Now, all of a sudden, you just want to be in your room. You don't feel the necessity of going out anymore. You don't even want to go to church. You don't want to go anywhere. So disconnecting from people around you is one of the signs usually. You become irritable when your husband or your wife wants to talk to you. You feel you are being bothered when kids are excited to see you back. You just want to be left alone. So disconnection is number one. Another thing, it's emotional exhaustion. You know, small things just start to irritate you. You become so easily agitated and cynical. Like you judge everybody. You think everybody has the worst intentions about you. So you start to judge people thinking that they are out there to get you. So emotionally, you are exhausted. And sometimes there may be outbursts of anger where you just burst out. And well, at work, it's easier because like you are expected to be professional, so you can keep it nicely. But at home, the people that you are supposed to show love and devotion to, people that have been waiting for you the whole day, those are the ones that are usually suffering. You would snap at them. You would kick the dog. That's the one, some of the signs of emotional exhaustion. And, you know, also there's lack of creativity. A person used to be creative. They used to come up with initiative. They used to come up with plans of how to improve the working environment. But this time, they're not creative anymore. They just relax. They don't get any task done. They are always left behind. So it's also...
Oh, it seems I've lost a feeler there for a moment. And I love what she was mentioning, you know, in highlighting all these different things that we could sometimes miss. And now even family members can keep an eye on it. Rifila, sorry, I lost you there for a second. As we conclude, for people who want to get more information, perhaps someone wants to speak to you to find out if what you're describing is something that they're going through, how can they get a hold of you?
We are located in Pretoria North, 404 West Street. It's corner President Steyn and West Street. Yeah, that's where our clinic is located. And then they can contact us on 069-229-8859.
100%.
Yeah, that's our contact number.
Rifila, thank you so much. I think you've helped a lot of people that are in a space where they just feel like, man, I've been feeling this and I'm not sure if this is normal. But also for employers who have just been feeling like, I need to do something about this, but I'm not sure how to go about it. This has been one of those insightful conversations. Thank you so much for joining us this afternoon. And for you who's listening at and in your car, you're listening at home, and you're just feeling like, man, this is something that spoke to me very much. I really want to encourage you that you make that decision to say, you know what, I actually want to do better by my wellness in the workspace, even outside of the office. Employer, this is your call to see how you can incorporate wellness into the workspace. And for you who's by saying, Kosi, I'm realizing I'm a little bit snappy, take a moment, go to the clinic, go have it checked out, and let them support you from that place that you might be able to wrap up the year well.